What is up, everybody? Dr. Joe Armstrong here, and I am super excited to tell you that we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Medgene. It's a new day in animal healthcare, and Medgene is wide awake. Medgene is the first USDA-licensed producer of prescription platform vaccines. Medgene's prescription platform vaccines help veterinarians in the swine, cattle, deer, and rabbit industries respond faster and more efficiently. Learn more about Medgene's prescription platform vaccines at MedgeneLabs.com. That's MedgeneLabs.com. Or better yet, follow Medgene on Facebook and LinkedIn. Medgene, it's a new day in animal healthcare. What is up, everybody? It's Dr. Joe Armstrong. We are continuing our biosecurity series related to H5N1 in dairy cattle. And if you haven't listened to the first episode in this series, I encourage you to do so. It's episode 248. That goes over some of the basics, some of the key concepts that have influenced the way these guidelines are written and the things that we think about specifically related to H5N1 in dairy cattle. Last time we talked about this topic, we left off talking about waste milk, what to do with it, and what to do with traffic and access in your parlor and your milk house. Today, on the docket for today, we have traffic flow as it relates to parking areas and your employees, livestock transportation equipment, dead stock, manure management, and farm-related deliveries. We will certainly get to more topics than the ones that I just listed, but we're going to save those for another episode because there's just a lot to cover. So let's jump right in. When we talk about premises traffic flow, basically what we really want for employees and essential visitors is an established parking area where they are designated to park. The goal in creating this designated parking area is to pick a location where those vehicles can go and the route to get there does not cross over or cross paths with the routes, the major routes that are used on your farm for on-farm vehicle traffic. That's the goal. Is it always possible to make that perfect? No. But we want to pick a spot where those vehicles that are coming from off the farm cross over as little as possible with the on-farm vehicle traffic. Making this designated parking area also creates just one more control point for you to control who is on and off your farm. It also sends a clear message for expectations about biosecurity. Making sure you have a designated parking area makes it very clear that anyone who's coming to your farm, that you are taking biosecurity seriously and you have established protocols. And it puts everyone in the right frame of mind as soon as they come onto your farm. So connected to that, what we're worried about with premises traffic flow is basically taking something from off the farm or taking something that's already on the farm and spreading it to other places in the farm location or on that premises. What we're worried about is contaminating vehicles with something that could have virus in it. So when we talk about that, we talk about manure for sure, spilled milk as well, raw milk. And then the one that's a little different is we talk about spilled feed. So spilled feed, manure, and spilled milk should be cleaned up immediately to avoid contamination of vehicles. Now, spilled feed can be contaminated, or we think it can be contaminated because of the interaction between feed and wildlife. The way we store feed on a lot of dairy farms is very open and accessible to wildlife. In addition to that, when we spill feed, it becomes accessible immediately to wildlife and can draw wildlife to it, creating a potential exposure for that feed and make it a potentially contaminated material with virus in it. So cleaning up all those things right away is very important. Now, when we're thinking about flow and traffic on a farm, I think one of the most helpful things is to have a map. And you can just pull something off of Google Maps or you can draw one. It doesn't have to be complicated, but it is a super valuable tool for thinking through all of the traffic patterns on your farm and where you're going to place things so that traffic patterns don't overlap as much as possible. It also gives you something tangible to think through these things with so that you can get an idea of what's actually happening on the farm and where things are going. And it's really easy to point out and find either choke points that need to be addressed or overlapping patterns of traffic that you really don't want to overlap. So as an example of that, we'll get to our next topic, which is dead stock. So when we talk about dead stock on the farm, ideally, in this situation, when we're talking about biocontainment and keeping virus on your farm, especially if you're impacted, we would ideally dispose of those animals that have died while you are impacted by the virus on farm by either compost or deep burial. Now, that's not always possible for every farm, and rendering becomes necessary. Now, ideally for biosecurity in general, we would dispose of dead stock on the farm, so the rendering truck has no need to come to your premises. That would be ideal. Now, I understand that's not anywhere close to possible for some farms, and rendering becomes a necessity. But that's where our map comes in, because if you're going to have the rendering truck come, it should ideally enter using a dedicated entrance that is not shared by any other vehicles or animal movement. If you've ever been around a rendering truck, they are not built to contain everything that's in the rendering truck. So we really don't want anything that's in that rendering truck leaking onto the ground and then being picked up by other vehicles. The best way to mitigate that risk is by having that truck's route not overlap with any other vehicle routes or animal movement. That would be ideal. In addition to that, we want that rendering truck to just stay away from animals as much as possible. And we want that rendering truck to pick up as far away from animals and animal feed as we possibly can allow on our farm. Now, the rendering truck doesn't just go to your farm. So when we're talking about the flow of traffic, if you are impacted or infected on your farm with H5N1, the rendering truck should pick up from you last. It should never go to your farm and then go to someone else's farm. In addition to that, you should be the last pickup if you are impacted by H5N1. And then that rendering truck should go to the renderer, drop off, and then it should be cleaned and disinfected before it goes to another farm. All right, we'll move on, and we're going to see a little bit of a theme here. We're talking about livestock transportation equipment. When we are talking about biosecurity in general, we'd love to see livestock transportation equipment cleaned and disinfected between loads of cattle. And then if you are currently impacted by H5N1, the manure and the runoff from cleaning and disinfecting your trailer should ideally be kept on your farm. Now, one of the things that we've picked up on from the epidemiological studies in Michigan and then the national report as well is that shared livestock transportation equipment is one of the risk factors associated with H5N1 infection. So when we share equipment, that is another thing that we need to pay attention to. Shared livestock transportation equipment should be cleaned and disinfected between loads of cattle. Absolutely. In addition to that, if you're going to share equipment or you're going to have a contracted hauler for your livestock, you should be probably meeting that trailer on the road and inspecting it, noting whether or not it's clean at the very least, and asking if it was disinfected. If that trailer is not clean, it should be refused entry to your farm. Establish the baseline for what you want to see from that shared equipment and that contracted hauler or whoever is using that equipment. If you're sharing it, it becomes even more important that you go out and inspect it to know that it showed up onto your place clean and hopefully also disinfected. Now, if you are impacted by H5N1, ideally you would not participate in multiple location pickups with shared equipment. Now, that may or may not be possible, but in the ideal world, that would be the case. If you have to participate in multiple location pickups while you are impacted by H5N1, it should only be for non-lactating cattle traveling directly to slaughter. On top of that, you must be the last location visited by that multiple location pickup with that shared equipment. If you are currently impacted with H5N1 and you are not the last stop on that multiple location pickup, you have then put every stop after you at risk for H5N1. But if you are the last stop on that multiple location pickup, you have significantly reduced the risk associated with you participating in that multiple location pickup and using that shared livestock equipment. Now, after picking up from an impacted farm, that shared transportation equipment must be cleaned and disinfected before visiting another animal location. So basically, if we're going to sum up livestock transportation equipment guidelines, we should be cleaning and disinfecting between loads of cattle, Ideally, you should be inspecting trailers before they come onto your farm for cleanliness and asking about disinfection protocols. You would, in the ideal world, if you are impacted by H5N1, not participate in multiple location pickups. If you have to, it should be only for non-lactating cattle traveling directly to slaughter, and you should be the last pickup. And after you, and after dropping off those cattle at slaughter, that shared equipment must be cleaned and disinfected. All right, let's move on to manure management. In the Michigan study, they identified that there was a high percentage, or a relatively high percentage, surprising percentage of people that did not have separate equipment to handle manure and feed. And then on top of that, there was an even more surprisingly high percentage that did not clean their equipment between handling manure and handling feed. So the recommendation becomes, ideally, you should have separate equipment for handling manure and feed. If you cannot have separate equipment for handling manure and feed, you must clean and disinfect your equipment after handling manure and before it is used to handle feed. If you are impacted by H5N1, you really need to hold, if possible, your manure on farm for the entire quarantine period and potentially longer. We don't have any data yet to tell us how long or if you need to hold it longer. We don't know that yet. Now, there's a lot of dairies out there that cannot hold manure for that long. They've expanded, they've grown, they've outgrown their manure storage capabilities on their farm. So if you need to move manure and you are currently impacted by H5N1, you should spread it as far from other livestock operations as much as possible, including poultry. If you are going to spread it, it would be ideal to incorporate it immediately into the soil to hopefully limit exposure to wild birds and animals. So like we've talked about before, manure is not just feces. It has bedding in it. It has raw milk in it, probably. It definitely has urine in it. It has all sorts of things that are not feces that could be contaminated with virus. And therefore, we need to be careful with what we do with manure. To be a good neighbor, we need to make sure that we're taking some precaution with how close we're getting to other livestock facilities. In addition to that, we talked about paths and routes and vehicle routes on farm. In the ideal world, manure haulers should utilize a separate access point that does not cross paths with other on and off farm vehicle routes. That's definitely not possible in every case. So if you're going to use a shared driveway, you just have to be really careful about spilling manure as little as possible. And if we do spill some, it needs to be cleaned up right away. Now, many dairies utilize a contract manure hauler, and that is quite common. So again, we're back to a shared equipment situation. If we can, avoiding shared equipment is the best way to mitigate that risk. If you must share equipment and you are impacted by H5N1 currently, you should be the last location visited so you don't put your other dairies and operations around you at risk. And then after the work is done on your place, that shared equipment should be cleaned and disinfected before it goes anywhere else. Ideally, if we're going to share manure hauling equipment in general from a biosecurity standpoint, even if you're not impacted by H5N1, it should be cleaned between farms. And it would be ideal for it also to be disinfected. The practicality of that is arguable, but we're talking about what would be ideal. Ideal would be that manure hauling equipment is cleaned and disinfected between each farm that uses the equipment. Now we're going to talk about farm-related deliveries. There's all sorts of vehicles and deliveries that come to a farm. What we really want to avoid is delivery drivers interacting with animals or entering high-risk areas like the milk house and the parlor. So if you have packages that need to be delivered, let's say from Amazon, it would be ideal for those to be placed in a drop box at the end of the driveway so that vehicle never actually enters your farm. That would be one of the best ways to get it done. Now, some of the deliveries that are coming to a farm are not going to fit in a drop box at the end of the driveway, but we're still trying to sort out the rules for those deliveries, just like we are with other things that we've talked about already. We need to look at making sure those delivery drivers know that they cannot wander around the farm. They cannot interact with animals, and ideally, they would not enter the milk house or the parlor. In addition to that, if you know you are impacted by H5N1 and you have feed or equipment or supply deliveries or just the Amazon driver deliveries, ideally, those would come to your premises last so that you are not putting the other locations after you at risk. You would get moved to the end of the day, so you are the last delivery. Now, this delivery discussion goes back to what we did in the first part of this series, and we talked about clean driveways. So if you can figure out how to have a driveway that is clean, which means free of mud and puddles as much as possible, easy to say, hard to do, free of spilled manure, spilled milk, spilled feed, that is going to go a long way to protecting yourself and those around you, the other operations around you, because it limits the amount of contamination that can be on a vehicle. All right, that wraps up part two of this biosecurity related to H5N1 discussion. We're going to have part three next time, and we're going to talk about professional services that visit your farm, those with direct animal contact and those without direct animal contact. We're also going to be talking about coming home from an infected farm and what you should be thinking about, especially if you have animals at home as well. Talk specifically about cats and dogs, and then we'll talk about wildlife and pest control. So look for that. That'll be part three and the final part of this series for now. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you have comments, questions, scathing rebuttals to this episode, please, please email themooseroom@umn.edu. You can call me as well, 612-624-3610. Please check out our website, extension.umn.edu. Thank you for listening, everybody. Catch you next episode. Bye.